I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello there.
I'm Jake.
I'm Mike.
And welcome to the Imposter Syndrome Podcast, Episode 3. Today, we're going to get right into it. We're going to talk about Star Wars today.
Star Wars.
All right, which part do you want to start with?
Well, let's go back 3 years.
Okay.
Where, at a time where Star Wars fans were kind of like not having anything happening with their lives. Like,
there was no content.
There was no content. And then this mouse came out of nowhere. Little bastard just ran out. And it's like, oh, I want to buy your movie. Yeah.
Dude, that's really good.
And George is just like, oh, boy.
I can't even fucking do it.
Money.
I'm sick for a disclaimer, so I have like no voice. I can't even do it.
I can't. Mr. Lucas, I want to buy your franchise. And George is like, whoa, I like money.
Dude, seriously. George is like, I like money and I'm going to give it all to charity, pretty much.
I guess. Yeah.
But episode 7, man.
So episode 7 came out. Everyone was kind of hype.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah, because, like, you had, like, when the prequels came out, like, the CGI was a little bit dated. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, of course.
Yeah, and, like, now you get to see Star Wars with, like, the newest big budget effects.
The baddest CGI.
And you're like, holy shit, this looks amazing. Like,
and they brought back, like, practical as well.
Yeah, yeah, they've learned their lesson. Do not rely on CG.
Yeah. I mean, everybody was kind of gassed. Like, you could, J.J. Abrams was on the project at that time. Everyone was like, oh,
yeah,
that's going to be the thing. And then they had the practical effects. They were bringing back the old cast. Like, everybody was like, yo, this was going to be it.
Yeah. And you know what? I enjoyed it.
It wasn't bad by any means.
Yeah, it was like a reboot.
It was very safe.
It was safe. Yeah.
Very safe.
And whatever kind of changes they did make, I was like, all right, I can kind of dig what's going on here. I pick up what you're putting down.
I mean, they had a lot of good ideas. They had somebody who was apparently a nobody, but there was clearly something about her. It seemed like people knew who she was. So they had this element, like, who is Rey? You know, like, who is she really?
Yeah.
And then they had Finn, who was like a stormtrooper who defected. Like,
you never seen that before, right?
Yeah, it was just cool. We had a female stormtrooper with Captain Phasma.
Oh, she was cool.
And Brienne of Tarth, bro. Yeah. Come on. And it had a lot of good elements in it, you know, overall. There was the old cast was coming back. You know, Han was prevalent. Everything was cool.
A lot of people criticize Force Awakens because saying it's like, oh, it's just a New Hope.
Again. I mean, it is, but yeah. It's okay. Like, I think that's all right for a first one because they were just trying to feel it out.
Yeah. Well, I think what, because I was also like, is this just going to be like, hey, do you remember? Like, is it just going to be Member Berries, the movie?
Oh, like nostalgia.
Yeah. But the first hour, there is no old things in that movie. It's still all original.
You mean like no callbacks?
Yeah. Which I liked. Like, there's like, you don't even hear, like, other than the titles, you don't hear any of the old music either, which I was really happy about. Like, I honestly, I love Ray's theme. Have you heard Ray's theme, right?
I mean, I'm sure. I don't recall what it. Oh, I know what you're talking about. That very gentle, like, yeah, belly. Okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, that's cool.
No, I like the new themes. I don't mind. I like change. Yeah. So I'm not afraid of them like branching out and not like doing the old stuff because this is the sequels. This is new.
Right.
The future, you know. So I'm not like one of those people who need to have that nostalgia factor to enjoy it for sure.
And I think whatever fan service they did do, it was like nice.
I feel like, yeah, I agree. I agree. I think killing Han was maybe not the best choice. Although I know that Harrison Ford wanted to do that because he wanted to die in episode 6 too, and George wouldn't let him.
Yeah, he's so, like, get me off this ride.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised, you know, that that occurred. And I think Kylo Ren is like a fantastic idea and character.
Yeah, I mean,
he's the best thing about them in general, in my opinion.
For at least Force Awakens.
I think for all of them, in reality. He has the most potential, but they didn't do enough with him. Okay. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, gotcha. I liked it because, like, it was not Darth Vader, right? It wasn't just like another rehash. It was like this wannabe boy, Darth Vader.
Wannabe Darth Vader, yeah.
And then any people who were worried about, like, the actual villain, you had, like, Phasma and Snoke and...
But the thing, too, like, even the first scene of him when he stopped, like, the blaster bolt with the Force, that was so rad. And, like, only one other Force entity can do that. I forget the name now. I'm going to butcher it. It's, like, Abeloth or something.
Abeloth.
I think.
Is this, like, Knights of the Old Republic stuff?
She's prevalent in the extended.
Oh, she's that monster thing. Okay.
Abeloth. I was on the money, kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, this thing.
Yeah.
She's the mother from the people on the planet with the mother, the daughter, and the father. She's the mother.
Oh.
Yeah, she's actually in trap because she's like, she's just like, I don't know.
She's
like,
Lovecraftian horror. That's
it. Yeah, like she's pretty no joke. And she was one of the only people, the only other entity that could do something like that.
Yeah.
You know, in the lore, in the extended universe overall. So I thought that was pretty rad. Like, he was strong. Like, it was showing he was strong.
Right.
Which I think, obviously, they made him really strong, so they have to have the protagonist be really strong. I just think their approach.
Well,
we'll get there. Do you have anything else to say? I mean, episode 7, I think, is, like, really quick to go over if you're not going to go, like, into an in-depth detail.
Yeah, it was good to go over back then when it came out because it was, like, fresh. And it was, like, you didn't know what was going to happen, but now that we know what's going to happen, it's kind of like... mute a point. There's two things with the 7th episode I wanted to touch. The highlights, if you will.
Sure.
First off, Traitor. The one OG stormtrooper who fucking whips out his baton and is like, 1v1 me, bro. You got a fucking lightsaber? Eat my ass. Let's go.
Oh, that scene was hot when Finn had the lightsaber. Is that what you're referring to in the battle scene? Yeah.
And other than like just badassery, I thought... that one stormtrooper was gonna be like the recurring like thing that come after Finn of like, you're the fucking traitor, I'm gonna kick your ass into the next dimension.
Oh, I know what you mean, like his antagonist.
Yeah, exactly. And then like it kind of transitioned to Phasma, but like even then. And then the second thing was the Snoke reveal when you first see him. I don't know if you were thinking, but when I first saw him, I'm like, that motherfucker is like 50 feet tall.
Oh, I know. No, I know. He was huge, right? Because they showed the projection of him. And at the time, I wasn't like, I didn't understand that it was solely a projection.
Yeah. And I was like, because it's a universe of aliens, right? So it's very possible to have
someone that large. Yeah,
and I'm
of
like,
course.
What does a battle of that look like?
Yeah, I know. It was such waste of potential with him, too. Because like he was supposed to be like, he knew Palpatine. And like he was just like this old ancient type of all-knowing, like, Sith creature.
Yeah,
who was, like, grooming this new Sith Lord.
Yeah.
And, like, it was just, I don't know, it was crazy. But, like, I think everything that had potential with Episode 7 is just moot point because of the other ones.
Yeah. So, to Episode 8, I guess.
I mean, before I get into Episode 8, I just think it's clear to make note of the fact that they had no plan for this. Confirmed they had no plan for this.
He literally was like, I'm just gonna sprinkle some pop points for the next
JJ show. Abrams has come out and said that he's like, I just wanted to lay the groundwork, you know what I mean, because that's what they gave me to do.
And Ryan Johnson's like, how about go fuck yourself?
Seriously, dude. I mean, I don't hate the guy,
he's a good director. Like, well, Knives Out was great.
I haven't seen it, actually.
Yeah, I heard it's really good,
but Episode 8, man, I mean, cinematically, it looked cool.
I think, okay, so Episode 8 is the turning point of the Star Wars fandom.
Well, that's when everyone realized, oh shit, they don't have a plan.
Well, yeah. Well, I would say it was the divide, because some people were like, oh, I like these changes, and people were like, oh no.
But I feel like the people who think that are normies. I don't know any Star Wars fan, like. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking my ass, but I don't know. I don't know any Star Wars fan that was like, this is okay. What they did to Luke Skywalker, like, this is okay.
Yeah. That. I mean, there was definitely some parts where I was like, that's a not great decision.
No, 100%. Like, I don't know. I mean, even him doubting himself, and, like, I didn't mind him doubting himself or doubting the Jedi way, because technically, like, you go back to the prequels, and we'll talk about that, but they were, like, not the best, you know, if you really look back at it.
No, of course not.
But the fact that he almost killed his nephew, man, I'm not cool with that.
For some vision.
For some vision that he might be like Darth Vader,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
If that were the case, why were you so adamant about not killing Darth Vader? It makes no sense. Like, it's just the plot holes. Like, it doesn't correlate to his character at all.
It's bad.
I don't know, man. It's just like, he was the pillar of hope in the Star Wars universe. He was the, like, the true chosen one. He was the greatest Jedi to ever live, and he just did him so filthy that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. Even like, I don't know. Even Mark Hamill was like, I can't vibe with this. He, at every turn, at every interview, if you look at it, he's always talking shit about this film, or like his character portrayal.
Yeah. It's just like, again, like, I did like some things. Like, because they were kind of going down this route with Rey and Kylo.
Which was cool. That was fine with me.
Where, I mean, it was like, neither one was very good at being their light side, dark side equivalent.
Rey wasn't very good at being good.
Yeah.
And Kylo wasn't very good at being bad. Yeah. I know. I see the parallels.
And it was opening up the potential of, like, are we going to see, like,
the reverse
gray Jedi, or, like, the people who are in between? And that kind of was teased in the first, and not the first one, the seventh episode, with that little orange alien lady. I forgot her name.
Maz Kanata?
Who the fuck?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I could be.
Because she was, like, force sensitive, but she wasn't on either side. And I was like, oh, okay. Because, like, you never see that. You always have, like, it's a Sith or it's a Jedi. And I was like, oh, it'll be really cool to have the films explore, like, what's in between.
Yeah. I mean, they tackle that with Ahsoka.
Yeah, but she's not in the main film.
I know. I know. She's in Episode 9 for, like, her voices, but.
Oh, it's fucking.
I know. We'll get there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think there was a lot of pointless shit in Episode 8.
There was that casino
thing. I was about to say that. The casino scene was total. I just hate how they did Finn, man. Because, like, in the beginning poster, like, he was one of the ones holding the lightsaber.
Yeah.
He was definitely supposed to be more prevalent. I don't know what they did with that. They, like, fumbled it completely. And, like, no disrespect to the, is it Rose Tran is her name?
Yeah.
No disrespect, but her character is so irrelevant to the series. Like, it was just, like, why? You didn't do anything with her.
I feel bad for the actress.
I feel bad for the actress because all these fuckheads were coming after her and talking so much shit to her, like it was her fault. Like, she
oh, no, I
think part.
Rose Tran's act, the character's name.
The character's name? I'm sorry. I don't know. You know what? I feel disrespectful when I'm saying it. Hold on. Give me one second.
I think it starts with an M. Rose Tico is the character.
Kelly Marie Tran. Oh my god! I'm so sorry, dude. I'm so sorry, Kelly Marie Tran. I feel so bad for her because, like, she got so much hate and all this stuff. Like, it was her fault. Like, no, blame Ryan Johnson and blame those fuckheads who wrote her part.
Yeah,
it's so dumb. I don't know. It's not her fault, but the character is just boring.
You know what was weird? Because I mean, not necessarily with Rose, but like with Finn, was that what the what I keep seeing the first no the seventh movie, it was kind of looking like Rey and Finn were gonna kind of be like a co-op Jedi.
Well, they shipped them together at first. You could tell because he was like Finn was like, "You got a boyfriend?" Right? And the first one, I'm like, all right, I guess so. You know, whatever. And then they totally just... I feel like the Star Wars sequels is just the sequels of shafting. Because, yeah. Like, literally, Finn was supposed to be prevalent. They shafted him. And they put insert Kylo. And to have Finn have another character to correlate with, they made Kelly Marie's character, who they also and then shafted in episode 9. Like, she got, like, one scene, bro, because everyone hated her character. Yeah. They didn't even commit to their... Like, that's why you can tell they have no plan. Like, episode 8 had no structure. First, they say, who is she? They made this big prevalent part about how, like, she has to be someone important. And then in episode 8, they say, nah, she's nobody.
Not to get conspiracy,
mm-hmm.
I wonder if Winnie the Pooh has anything to do with Finn getting shafted from being a main role.
I'm sorry? Winnie the Pooh?
China.
What does that have to do with Finn?
Because they're racist. Do you not know about that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, so when Star Wars got released,
sure,
in China,
okay,
you know who's not on the poster?
Oh, Finn.
Yeah,
I've seen stuff like that. Yeah,
and like I wonder if like executive stuff were like,
but how's that even possible when you have things like Black Panther and Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Did Black Panther go overseas to China?
I'd imagine so. No,
I don't know.
I don't know.
See, because like the big problem with Disney was like they're catering to like the Chinese market, and then like you have things.
Oh my god! No. It made $65.5 million in China, which was a solid account amount. Okay. Me. Yeah.
So maybe again.
China is the second largest movie market in the U.S. after the U.S. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it made decent money in there. Okay. So I don't really think that's the case.
Okay, so not conspiracies.
No, I don't think that's the case. Right. I mean,
it's just bad writing.
It's just bad writing, yeah. I think they just didn't have a plan, man, because they catered to the audience too much.
Mm.
It's either you cater to the audience from the beginning or you just have to commit.
Yeah. Well, in the beginning, it was like kind of fan service and like trying new things, and then Rian Johnson like slapped it, and it was like, no.
Rian Johnson wanted to just make a movie of his.
Yeah.
He didn't want to make a Star Wars film. I think that was the problem. Like, overall, it just didn't feel like Star Wars to me. I mean, that scene where the ship light speeds into the other destroyer.
Yeah.
That was hot. I'm not gonna lie, that was a cool idea. There were good elements in that movie, like the fight scene with Rey and Kylo versus all those people.
Well, even like that when Rey's going for like the dark side mirror pit
thing. Yeah, that thing was cool too. They were cool. It was very cinematic. Like, it was cool that way. And I'll give them props for that. You know, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But the story just was not good, man. They killed Luke when Leia died. I mean, Carrie Fisher died. And that was, like, an opportunity to really kill her character off, too.
Yeah.
Because, like, what are you going to do? You know, it was such an unfortunate situation. And they had plenty of time to rewrite and reshoot.
Not only just plenty of time to replan things, but, like, you had a scene within that movie where you could have been,
oh,
like...
Oh, my God. There was two scenes where she could have died.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
The explosion scene was the first scene they could have killed her. And then the second scene is when she flew out into space. But then they did that weird forced Disney princess shit. And I was like, oh, my God. It's just like it was an unfortunate event, and you know it sucks, and it was like so sorry, you know, so sad that she passed away. But like, how are you going to continue the film with that? Like, you know what I mean? You kind of have to work it out, and they had plenty of time. And like, why would they kill Luke and then commit to having her like CG'd or put Force Awakens / Episode 8 scenes into Episode 9? That was your genius plan when you had two opportunities to actually just kill the character.
Yeah,
you gave us two cock teases for because everyone was like, what are they going to do? You know, everyone was like, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
And the explosion could have killed her, and that would have been impactful. Or the space thing could have killed her.
The space thing could have been good, because that was like Kylo going like full, like, I'm going to be evil.
No, seriously, because like, I don't know.
Kill the past.
That was his whole point of the character. That's what the whole, I understand. Like, I really wanted them not to have him go back to the light side.
Okay. My biggest disappointment with that was the final act. And how that all played out.
Wait, you were still talking about episode 8, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, first off, Snoke, who gives a shit?
That cool. Well, that was so shitty.
That cool bad
dude.
Guy who fuck him. Who cares,
dude? They just killed him like nobody. Like he.
Like.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, he's got a cool ring and stuff, and like he's got this cool. Nah, fuck him. And it's like, all right, okay. Kyle was the bad guy, I guess. And then it's like, again with the whole. I thought they're doing the whole angle with the Grey Jedi thing, or like the in between. But no, they're like, no, Rey's going to be good. Kyle's going to be bad. Surprise.
I know. And it was just, I don't know. Just dumb. Just dumb all the way around.
And then we get full dumb. And then we get panicky mode. We get episode 9.
Yeah, episode 9 was a total panic shot.
Can I just say Rise of Skywalker is the most stupid name?
Yeah, I know. Considering that they're all dead.
Yeah.
It's just so dumb. Oh my God. We'll get to that. When we'll get to that part, where you know where the Rise of Skywalker comes from.
Yeah.
We'll get there. Final thoughts on episode 8. I just think like they just didn't have a consistent plan. They let every director do whatever the hell they want. And then we get to episode 9, where more problems face because they fired a director that was supposed to do it and then hire J.J. Abrams again. If that was the case, they really should have just had him do the whole damn series.
Right.
Oh my God. But
so at this point, as an audience, I was kind of checking out of Star Wars.
Oh, I mean, me too. I've been checked out. Like, after episode 8, I was checked out.
Yeah.
And, like, I watched it, you know, honestly, I watched episode 8 the first time, and I was like, whoa, that was hot.
Yeah.
Because all my fanboyness was coming out, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then I watched it a few other times, and every time I watched it since then, it's gotten worse and worse to me every single time I watch it.
I think it was just, like, it was morbid curiosity keeping me around. I was like, maybe they can do something. Maybe they can pull it back.
I mean, I just wanted to see the shit show in the end. You know, I was already committed. You know what I mean? I was like invested. I might as well see the rest of the shit show and say, fuck it. But yeah. When it comes to episode 9, I mean, it was a total cop out. Like, I almost respect it less because they just backtracked on everything.
The whole movie was a backtrack. It was two movies in one. It was backtrack and then, all right, we got to finish this.
The episode 9 didn't get to be episode 9 because it was too busy correcting everything from episode 8.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you don't have a plan. I can't believe that Disney, who does Marvel in the MCU, and then Disney, who does Star Wars, can do two polar opposite things in such a fashion, excuse me. Because literally the MCU is planned out to a T.
Right.
And then we have the fucking Star Wars universe, which is just all over the fucking place.
Yeah, it was... It was annoying because you could have worked with some of Rian Johnson's decisions,
mm-hmm.
but you just fully like the whole thing with like Rey was a nobody, like there was no family, whatever mystery, like she was just whoever, and I'm like that could work, like it doesn't have to be like a family tie.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I mean, it has to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
For every family, for example.
But no, it's like okay, it's another fucking family feud again. Here we go.
I always liked the idea that it was like the chosen one reincarnated.
Mm.
Because like, well, if you look at Anakin was ground zero for the Skywalker Force family, right? He has no prior Force history.
Kind of.
He had no father, well, technically, unless you follow the books and shit, where it says that Plagueis wasn't influenced it and everything.
Yeah.
But let's just say for the sake of the argument, right?
Okay.
At the time being, he didn't, you know, he had no ties to anything.
Right, right, right. Right.
At the time. I mean, they could have done the same thing with Rey. And just stuck with it. Because like, we saw the kid in episode 8 with the fucking broom who used the Force. And nothing happened with that. at all. Just a lot of things. A lot of open-ended things.
So, other than, like, some questionable Star Wars lore decisions,
mm-hmm.
the movie is a fetch quest. A bunch of fetch quests.
Yeah, we gotta get this holocron. Which, they couldn't even use the name holocron. What do they use?
Oh...
Some type of shit.
I only remember the word holocron. I don't remember what it's called.
No, holocrons are what was normally the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, I know, but like I don't remember. I know because all the reviewers.
A wayfinder. That's what it was.
Which is
so dumb. Oh my God! Why couldn't you just say holocron?
And then it's like we have this dagger that you have to line up to the destroyed ruins of the Death Star, built by some dude. And I'm like, who? Why? Okay. First off, why does a dagger exist in the Star Wars universe? Like,
I know. First off, you want to know what makes me more upset?
Mm-hmm.
Is that apparently in Fortnite, they had a speech.
Yeah. Oh my god.
About fucking Palpatine's return, and that's how everyone found out. That's why in the beginning of Episode 9, everybody knew because his speech was announced in Fortnite before the movie came out.
Yeah, and I love it. Oh my god. Because the movie stars, and it's like the Empire. The Emperor's back, and they're like
Brack.
Like the Emperor has returned, and it's like, what? How? He's dead. He fell down the shaft and he exploded.
I know. Such a weird way to open a film.
And then what's Poe? It's like, guys, I've just got some bad news. The Emperor has returned. And you're like,
what? Okay. First off, no foreshadowing.
No foreshadowing.
No foreshadowing whatsoever. None. Zero. Seto. None.
And then,
oh my god,
they did Snoke. I've never seen a de-evolution of a character as hard as Snoke. He started out as a 50-foot like alien thing, and I was like, yo, I would love to see a lightsaber fight with that. Let's go. Every single succeeding appearance of him made him worse. And to the point where it's like he was actually a clone of Palpatine.
And he got smaller with each film. He was in a tube, the last one.
Because he was a clone thing. And I'm like, wow. Wow. Like, okay. Wow. And like, also, Phasma didn't get shit either.
We didn't talk about that in episode 8. She just dies.
Yeah, because she was so unimportant.
Oh my god. The disrespect on just all platforms.
So, man, have you seen the deleted scene?
Which one?
So, there's a deleted scene for episode 8. Which, like, properly sets up her death and, like, makes Finn's arc kind of complete, you know? Because he...
How so?
Because, like, I don't remember exact details, but, like, because she's set up as, like, his antagonist, right?
Yeah.
And, like, they have the proper fight, and he's like... And she's like, you're just gonna be nothing but scum. And he's like, yeah, rebel scum, and, like, fucking... yeets her off the platform. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, because he finally became not a stormtrooper anymore. Like, that's his...
I don't know. It's just a mess.
I mean, yeah.
Let's talk about the Knights of Ren.
Oh my god! I forgot about the Knights of Ren!
The coolest characters of the whole fucking series, and they do nothing.
My favorite thing is, like, they get teased in Force Awakens. Like,
they're, like, the baddest of the bad, right?
Knights of Ren, you guys better be ready. Like, you know the Magna Guards? Fuck those bitches. You know the Red Guards? Losers. Knights of Ren, gonna kick your ass. And it's like, all right. And
doesn't show up.
Ryan Johnson's like, who the fuck are these guys? Yeah,
dude,
get out of here. And they're like, okay, well, I have them still, so let's just Scooby-Doo goose chase around.
Oh my god, I know. And then, like, Lando came back and did nothing. And I like the scene where, first off, I don't know where Rey learned how to force heal. Or where this magically came from.
She played Knights of the Old Republic.
I guess. But I guess she had the old books. So maybe that's where it came from.
But they got destroyed, didn't they?
I thought they didn't get destroyed. She had them. She had them on the ship. She had them.
Oh, okay.
So maybe she read it off of there or something. But Luke thought they got destroyed. But Yoda was like, you know, whatever.
Funny joke.
Yeah, I'll do that another time. But yeah, so they thought he got destroyed, but she actually took them before she left overall.
Oh, okay.
Never mind that. I like the scene where she, like, heals him, and then, like, he has that whole... Leia does that whole scene where she projects Han back, and that makes him change.
Yeah,
but...
okay, so here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of Rey.
Sure.
Our titular protagonist. Talk about... I hate to say this term, Mary Sue.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. She just wasn't interesting.
Well, because she started off interesting. I was like,
sure,
some slaver girl.
I would say that. I mean, she's, yeah, I feel that she was interesting in the beginning. And, or, like, she had potential, at least.
Yeah, right. And, like, in the, at least, even, I know, like, the eighth one has contention to it, but, like, I like the idea that she was not perfect in the sense that, like, she had the dark side thing in her, and she did fall for it. She mm-hmm. fell to the dark side briefly.
Yeah, she did. She used force lightning, which is cool.
Yeah, and that's like, but then it was like, no, I know how to do these things now, and, like, I could just do it on a whim, and, like,
honestly, if they were gonna go the route of redeeming Kylo, I would have liked to see Rey fall.
Yeah,
that would have been cool. It's either, I would have liked two things. I would have liked they committed with Kylo, because like, I didn't like that Darth Vader was redeemed, which was perfect, obviously. Yeah. I just didn't want them to rehash that with his grandson, and that's pretty much just what they did. Like, not every single Sith Lord can be redeemed.
No.
You know what I mean? And how impactful would it have been if a Luke's nephew fell to the dark side and stayed there? He was a Sith Lord. Like, that was his thing, you know?
Or even the switch, like... Kylo became good. Yeah, and Rey became evil.
Well, they're going to make her a Palpatine. They might as well have done that. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Okay. So, oh, yeah. A number of things.
She could have been anyone.
Yeah. And Kenobi. Imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they would have explained that.
But oh, yeah. Him and Obi-Wan and Satine got a little freaky one night.
Yeah, but like 50 years ago.
But, so there's two things that also really rubbed me the wrong way. So, the big thing with this film is, like, Palpatine has been secretly alive.
The whole time.
On this backwater planet.
The whole time.
In a secret specter of space.
The whole time.
Building a massive-ass fleet.
The whole time.
Of Star Destroyers.
The whole time.
Each one is equipped with a Death Star laser.
The whole time.
The whole time. And, like, he's been abducting all these people, and it's got, like, a Sith cult.
The whole time.
And I'm like, okay. Because you see the shots in our trailers and, like, in the movie, too. Like, you see, like, rows upon rows going to the horizon of mm-hmm. Star Destroyers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how many people did you have? Because...
Oh, you want to know some shit?
Mm-hmm.
You want to know some shit? So I read some of the comics, too.
Yeah.
And it turns out, like, Darth Vader... I was reading the Darth Vader comic.
Yeah.
And it turns out he found Exegol. And he went there to confront Palpatine, and he fought him. It was, like, after episode 5. And he had the Star Destroyers then.
And this is canon.
Yeah.
See, this is retconning now.
Mm-hmm. They're just trying to fix the mistakes.
Yeah.
And it's not working. Well, yeah, especially with comics, man. It's hard because you have so many different art, like, not artists, but you have so many different writers after a certain time. You know, they do a run.
Right.
And they switch writers. You can't stay consistent. It's very hard. TV shows, movies, things like that, you can kind of stay more consistent because it's more concise. But when it comes to comics, it's like a never ending, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like how can you even like fathom all of it?
So here's the thing, right?
Sure.
You know the YouTuber Eckhart's Ladder?
No, I have no idea.
So he's a big like Star Wars buff guy and goes into like the lore and stuff.
Do you know who Star Wars Theory is?
Yeah, same vein as that.
Yeah.
So they were going into like a deep dive of episode 9. If you want to talk about Rushed, so those Star Destroyers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, in Star Wars lore, if you're really paying attention as a fan,
sure.
So there's two models of Star Destroyers. There's a like model one, which was you see in episode 4,
mm-hmm.
when they're first introduced.
Sure.
And then episode 5 onwards, there's a new model.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can really tell the difference is like the bridge looks slightly different.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I could tell the difference.
Yeah. So you look at the Star Destroyers in these films. They're the Mark Ones, which the only reason why they're the Mark Ones because the assets for them were just recently created for Rogue One.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so they just like brought them, they made it bigger, and then like in whatever program they're using, like Blender or like Max, 3D Max,
just, like, they really stuck just, on a they gun. They really just reused that. Thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And. It's just like you couldn't even do like a cool design.
They have like all this money, like where, why?
Like you, like, can, I don't know. You look at the art book and like design processes, and like you can see like new Star Destroyer designs. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
This would have been so much cooler. At least I would have been like, yeah, it's a new weapon, and not just like you fucking just put a gun on a Star Destroyer.
I know they just like duct taped a gun to it and called it a new thing,
or even. Why the fuck, if you want to be, like, a cool thing, why didn't you just take the Eclipse?
Oh, I know what you mean. Like, from the first one?
You know what I'm talking about?
Wait, I don't think I do know what you're talking about.
So, in the extended lore...
Okay.
There was, like, Palpatine's flagship, if you will.
Okay.
It was a massive-ass Star Destroyer called the Eclipse.
Does it take the energy from a star and then...
No.
Okay, I'm thinking about something else.
Yeah, you're thinking something else. It's like a giant black Star Destroyer, bigger than like the Super Star Destroyer.
Sure.
And it's got like a cool like point thing on the bottom and stuff. And it has a Death Star laser built into it. but it's not like planet buster thing. It like it can fuck it up pretty bad, but not to the level of like Death Star. Yeah, there it is. Like, look how rad that looks.
Dude, that looks sick as fuck. What the hell? That looks epic as hell. Oh, I see. It has like the peak.
Yeah. And I'm like, that, like, if you had those, that would be so much cooler. Because it's like this big ass ship. It's intimidating. And it, like, it kind of connects to the extended universe. But no, reuse assets, boy.
It's such a shame.
And now, my second problem.
Okay.
All right. So, I listened to a podcast called The Super Best Friend Cast.
Sure.
Or now known as The Castle Super Beast. Mm-hmm. And they, when episode 9 came out, they talked about the movie in like a spoiler cast fashion. And they brought up a question near the end, or a prompt, if you will.
Sure.
Who, like, the only villain of the series is Palpatine. You is what like, this has implied. Because he was there for the prequels. He was there for the original. He was there for the sequels. Yeah. Everything he's done has been all Palpatine.
Mm-hmm. Unoriginal.
And then it went further. And it's like, who is to say that the only Sith Lord was just Palpatine this entire time?
Well, they kind of implied that, right?
Well, because like, everyone else was like, oh yeah, like Count Dooku and stuff, like you were a Sith Lord, sure, you just had a red lightsaber and you could do stuff, but like to the degree of
he Palpatine, just used the dark side, he wasn't a Sith Lord.
Yeah, but he was yeah. He was Darth Trainus.
Well, yeah, he was, but like I mean, like he wasn't as feared.
Yeah, and like you have a cyborg with four arms, or you have Darth Maul, where it's like, all right, whatever.
You're Darth Maul's cool. Don't disrespect.
He's
Darth
cool,
Maul.
But like Palpatine was like, bitch, get out of here.
Yeah, but he kind of made his own way. We could talk about Maul. Later, we'll get, when we yeah. get to when we get to other things,
yeah.
But I want to wrap up the sequels a little bit,
yeah,
soon. But you're right. I mean, it's just a creative black hole where it's just like don't have anything to do. I mean, like they also implied technically what you were saying that he is like the main Sith Lord because he was like kill me and become all of us. Remember, he's mentioned.
I love how his motivation has kept changing during that final fight of like. You strike me down and then you become taking my place. And it's like, well, actually strike me down and then I'll invade your body. It's like, well, actually I'm just going to kill you.
I know. Right. And if you even go back further, it was like Kylo kill her. No, Rey kill him. And it's just yeah. like, he's just like, whatever. If you look at all of them, technically he just does random shit all the time.
Well, no, he was.
Yes, he does, man. One time he wants to kill Padme. Next, he doesn't want to kill Padme. Like, why do that? Why? What was the purpose? You know what I mean? There are certain things okay, that he does. Okay. There are certain things that he does that make no fucking sense
I
whatsoever.
Guess, like, to this degree of, like, you're at this big climactic fight with all these spirits of the Jedi and stuff, and sure. you're like, what do I do?
I know. I don't know. That whole, I don't know. The whole movie sucks.
Also, we Phantom Menaced our enemy, because guess what? There's going to be the one starship that controls all the other Star Destroyers, shoots it down, and everyone dies.
Oh, I know. They have to find a way. And then they fucking fuck up Finn again, dude. Because yeah. they try to imply that he's Force sensitive, but they never say it, and they never do anything with it, really.
And then, I guess the biggest fuck you is the end.
Oh my god. When they call her Rey Skywalker.
Yes.
Fucking kill
the
me.
The Rise of Skywalker.
Fucking kill me, please. Just murder me.
Thank God we had exposition old lady there to tell us.
Who are you?
Who are you? As if I care.
If I see you, if I'm an old person or if I'm just a person in general and I see some random person with a lightsaber, I'm just going to keep walking. I'm not going to talk to them and be like, who are you, man?
Yeah.
I did like that her lightsaber was like a yellow, orangey, the color, though.
Yeah, I mean, cool, but one lightsaber does not make of them.
Oh, no. I'm not, dude, no, of course not, but...
I also love the final fuck you where they buried Anakin's lightsaber in sand.
I hate sand.
It's coarse and gets everywhere.
Oh my god.
Like big old fuck you to the Skywalker name. Just
seriously. I hope they do something cool with him in the Kenobi series, but we don't gotta get into that right now.
Yeah. So this was a couple Oh, no, a year ago, 2 years ago, when did the Skywalker came out?
Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah.
I think it was 2019.
Yeah, so at this point, we, like, cleaned our hands and we're like, Star Wars is dead. All right.
Well, they did Solo after episode 8 and it did terrible, so that's why they panicked and did episode 9.
Yeah, but I didn't care anymore.
And per usual, they got to get the man himself, Dave Filoni, to fix everything. Yo, seriously.
Mandalorian
was so awesome.
What a return.
Dude, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni are the guys, for sure.
I think, like, it's kind of an oxymoron, but I feel like the most interesting Star Wars stuff is when it doesn't have anything to do with the Force. Like,
because it's more than that, man. They don't have to focus on the Jedi and the Sith all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, they can still implement them, but it doesn't have to be their story, and The Mandalorian proves that.
Yeah, I loved it being a Western.
Oh, dude, it was so dope. It was such a cool concept.
Yeah.
And then they added Grogu.
Grogu.
Baby Yoda.
So, Grogu's dead, isn't he?
No.
Well, because he got picked up by Luke, right?
Yeah.
And then went to be trained to be a Jedi.
Oh, so you're assuming that Kylo killed him?
Until otherwise stated.
Well, yeah, that's, yeah. I thought the same thing when I saw that. I'm like, oh, no, he's a goner, bro.
Rip.
I was like, dude, you just fucked up completely.
Kylo's going down and just got sniped.
Well, there are theories that there's some time travel shenanigans.
Oh, Jesus.
Because if you recall, Luke said in the sequels that Kylo was the first person that he trained, or it was his first student, right? Which is clearly untrue because he had Grogu. So it's either A, no one knows about Grogu and he hit him, or B, they went to the room of space, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
From Rebels.
Yeah, from Rebels. And they switched it up. It's one of those two.
Who knows?
Overall. We'll find out eventually, yeah. I'm sure. Otherwise, you know, he's dead. We can pronounce him dead for now until Mandalorian Season 3 does something with him or whatever. Yeah. But
Mandalorian as a show was so refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved every minute of it.
Well, I think Star Wars is at its best when it focuses on its world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, going to all these planets, meeting all these different people and all these storylines and everything that are interjecting that have nothing to do with the main, you know...
Skywalkers or mm-hmm. Palpatines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though they're trying to do inklings
yeah.
of trying to establish the First Order in Mandalorian to give setup. That's yeah. what they do. That's what Dave Filoni does
That's
best.
That's also the thing. The Empire actually felt threatening. Like, because with the First Order and whatever, it was kind of like... Who mm-hmm. cares?
Yeah, the First Order never really felt like... Mm.
A bunch of babies running around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Like this one, it was like you had one little Star Destroyer, whatever it was, like a cruiser thing, and that was like the big ship.
I just love how much it fills the gaps.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's what Dave Filoni and does best. Like he did that with Clone Wars too. And it like he saved the prequels for me. In my eyes.
Oh, definitely.
With Clone Wars. And I think he's trying to do the same thing with the sequels. I think the sequels are too far gone, even for his talents.
Oh, yeah.
But I love Mandalorian. I love the character of Jin.
Yeah.
I think he's sick. I love, like, his attitude and his code.
Yeah.
And I love, like...
It was fascinating seeing the Mandalorians, like, their culture and stuff.
Well, how their culture converted from, yeah. like, what it was to what it is now.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I just love how they brought in Clone Wars characters, man. It's like he knew exactly who he was trying to reach, man.
Right, exactly.
Seeing Ahsoka and having Bo-Katan, the voice actor for Bo-Katan, play her IRL is so cool.
Yeah, it was rad.
Dude, I love that so much. Seeing her in Ahsoka live action, finally.
Yeah, that
was
cool.
Dude, that episode was so amazing.
Seeing the Darksaber was rad.
Seeing the Darksaber live action was rad, dude. And yeah. now that he has it, oh my God.
That was cool.
Oh my God! Everything about Mandalorian is hot. I love
soundtrack
it.
Was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I'm sorry, I cannot remember the composer off the top of my head, but like I saw the behind the scenes of him, and he had a cool ass setup going. I was
the composer.
Yeah, I was like, you go, man. Like, because there's always a big fear with Star Wars in terms of like music wise, because you have to pair up against the man himself, John Williams,
mm-hmm.
and like. Half the reason why Star Wars movies have any credibility at all is because of
that
music.
Man. Yeah.
Right.
He makes every corny scene cool.
Yeah. And so, like, to, like, go onto this project and be like, all right, you can hint at John Williams, but make something original. Like, I can't imagine the pressure on your shoulders from that.
Seriously, dude.
And he pulled it off.
He pulled it off sickly. And the fact that they brought back Boba. Boba 2. I'm sorry. I just love Mandalorian so much. I love, like, all the cool things they brought back.
The Dark Troopers were rad as shit, too.
Oh, I agree. And Luke fucking mopping the floor with them, too.
Well, that's why...
10 out of 10.
I think that's why I liked, because it's kind of scaled down, where it's like a simple droid thing.
Can affect them. Like, it could kill them.
Yeah.
And then, like, if there was a Jedi there, it'd just be like, oh, it's just another day, bro.
Prequel days.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking clankers. But,
Clankers. Bloody clankers.
Bloody clankers. But, yeah, and it was just a wonderful surprise. Because I was, like I said, I was burned out on Star Wars after the sequels. And I saw Mandalorian, and I was like, jeez.
I know, more shit.
Right. But people were like, no.
Maybe it's just stay in episode form. Maybe, like
see, that's
like
what seasons. I was also thinking.
Like TV.
Because with, like, Clone Wars and Bad Batch and Mandalorian, like, seeing Star Wars as an episode format, it's like, it feel like you can do so
they can cover much. More.
Yeah. And it feels like it doesn't have to be constrained to the movie.
Or one story. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that's where they should go from now on. It feels like that's what they're doing. I mean, there's going to be more films supposedly on the list, you know?
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
They got the Rangers of the Republic film, I think, that the director of Wonder Woman is doing, something like that. Oh, I agree. And a few others. Acolyte, I think, is another one. Yeah. I don't know. But I don't know. I'm interested in seeing what they do with the Boba Fett film, TV show and the Kenobi TV show.
I'm fascinated with the technology of Mandalorian, and I really want to see that be explored more. Because do you know about how it was filmed?
Not particularly. What do you mean?
So they designed a film stage where it was surrounded by LEDs, screens.
Okay.
And all the landscapes you see in Mandalorian are all screen projections.
Really?
Because they take Unity, like the game engine, loaded environments, and like set up the scene. And depending on where the camera is moving to, the environment will adjust to fit to make sure it looks like a 3D distance.
That's cool.
And it's fascinating because that opens up so many possibilities for like... shows and movies that don't have that massive budget, like, because you could just film anywhere. You just have to like load in a Unity project.
Saves money.
Yeah, and you could change lighting, because that's also the thing. Because before you had like green screens and blue screens, and that was a pain in the ass because you have to rotoscope everything, and like you have to make sure the lighting is right on the actor so it fits in the environment. But because it's an LED screen, the lighting is already present because it's the environment. And it's like, it just streamlines the whole process.
Yeah. It makes it simple overall and less like, I don't know. What's the word I'm looking for?
CGI bait.
Like. That and like, I'm trying to say over the top maybe.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. I'm interested. That's cool. As you see that on Disney Plus, is there like an explanation?
Yeah. There's
a
behind the scenes thing from Mandalorian.
I gotta watch that.
You definitely need to, I mean, because they did it well where they had the stage.
Yeah.
And they had some physical environment, but then it was seamlessly transitioned into like...
into that background or whatever.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's so smart. Like, that's so...
I love the costume designs in that show, too.
Oh, yeah.
All the Mandalorian armor looks sick.
I think just also creature designs in general.
I mean, it's just cool to see in the Star Wars world, you know?
Yeah.
That's what makes Star Wars great, honestly. It's really cool to see the family dynamic between Jin and Baby Yoda or Grogu. Yeah. And I don't know. I really felt for it. I mean, it was a show for anybody. You don't even have to be a Star Wars fan and enjoy that show.
Yeah.
Like my girlfriend doesn't necessarily like Star Wars, but she liked Mandalorian overall.
Yeah, I mean, my sister is like also the most like... She's never going to listen to this. Okay. Yeah, she's the most, like, white girl Instagram who gives a shit, like...
Normie.
And, like, she enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's for everybody. You could really just enjoy that show. It's about a father and a son. That's pretty much what it really is. At the core. Moving on to another Dave Filoni show, Clone Wars. For anybody who hasn't seen Clone Wars and is interested in Star Wars, you're doing yourself a disservice, man. Like, it adds so much context to the movies. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm wondering, maybe we should preamble this with the prequels.
Sure, we can go into the prequels first. That's fine.
Because prequels were an interesting thing of... So here's what happened, right?
One and two sucks, three's okay, and that's pretty much the gist of it.
The gist of it.
Yeah.
Right. So what happened is the original trilogy is written by George Lucas, but it's his wife, and he's got a bunch of writers, and like there was people keeping him reined in and like kind of like, oh, well, maybe George, you shouldn't do that, or like maybe you should do that, like that, emphasize that boy. And then with the prequels, they were either fired or divorced. So it was just George, and no one said no to him.
George is not a good writer.
And George is not a good writer by himself.
Mm-mm. Even the crew, like from the originals, would tell him like stuff and do things. You know what I mean? Like the cast too.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, episode one is a dump fire for sure.
It is a garbaggio.
To times like 50, dude. It's so
well,
bad.
Well, I mean, Attack of the Clones is worse.
You think so?
Well, because at least fucking Phantom Menace gave us Duel of the Fates.
Yeah.
That's the only redeeming factor of that. And Darth Maul.
I know. Darth Maul's sick.
But like, who gives a shit about Attack of the Clones? Like,
I don't. I particularly don't. You know, I used to like that one when I was younger, obviously, because I didn't understand what's a good, what's a good movie and what's a bad movie. Right. But so it has like a little bit of a nostalgia factor for me, but I don't like the film. I don't think it's good at all. It's just the writing in that one is terrible. Oh, and some of the acting is not that great either, but it's mostly the writing. They didn't really have much to work with. Yeah.
It's coarse. It gets everywhere.
But that's what's so interesting is like Anakin's my favorite character, and it has nothing to do with the prequels. It's mostly with Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Because Clone Wars makes it better.
It adds a lot of context.
Yeah. Because so, I mean, I love episode three, though.
Episode three, I mean, I was talking to one of my friends who's a director.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sounds toy, like director. Indie director, let's be. Not to bash, but like I'm not gonna pretend I know anyone famous. We're all indie people here. But we were talking about like the prequels and stuff, and it's like the reason why everyone loves Revenge of the Sith is because it's the darkest one.
Mm-hmm.
And like everything got like the serious tone to it, which was great.
I really love it. I think when Star Wars gets serious, it's its best.
Order 66 to this day is still one of the most soul crushing things to happen.
Oh, dude, everything about Order 66 is interesting. Every time they give us little trinkets of what happened, it's always the most engaging. I mean, just the whole fall from like Anakin being a little boy,
yeah,
you know, who had a lot of hope and dreams of becoming this thing, and then just to see the fall into this depraved, you know, slave. He was born a slave and he died a slave. Yeah. Like, literally, it's pretty crazy. It's a good parallel.
I loved, okay, see, it was like, again, like, George Lucas is interesting where he's not great at, like, the small writing stuff, like, dialogue he's really bad at, but the big picture stuff and concepts, he does really well. So, if you notice, all the villains of the prequels are all pieces of Darth Vader.
They're all pieces of Darth Vader?
All of them are pieces of Darth Vader.
In what way?
Like, Maul is the Vader rage, right? Dooku is the sort of sophisticated Sith regalness.
And then Grievous is the machine.
Is the cyborg. He's the precursor to Vader because he's got the whole cough thing going on.
Well, you know what's interesting is that Palpatine gave Vader that suit on purpose as a punishment.
Yeah.
So it's like he could have gave him a more advanced suit. Mm-hmm. Where he'd be, you know, more mobile and stronger and stuff. Yeah. But he won because he was afraid of him, you know, Palpatine didn't want him to get stronger than him.
Right.
And then, secondly, because it was a punishment. I don't really like the Metachlorian thing, you know, overall. But if we're going to, it's canon. So, he had, like, the most out of everybody.
Yeah.
And then when he got cut up by Obi-Wan and he became Vader, it stated that he could only be 80% of what Palpatine is.
Yeah.
It's like such a loss, man. It's just, it's tragic. It's tragic to see.
Right.
Like, you know, it's such a tragedy.
And you're still a boss ass bad guy.
Yeah, but it's just like you always see like the torturedness of it.
Yeah.
Like he did all of it to save his wife, and in the end he was the one who killed his wife.
I think that even like also like the movies kind of did like a bad context of like it looked like she just died of sadness.
Well, you can actually die from a broken heart.
Yeah. But
that's
like
what happened.
It was kind of corny.
But it was, but
I think what actually happened, because you know, Palpatine's always going on the power to save the ones you love,
mm-hmm.
and
well,
like,
the manipulation,
yeah. And it's like I think he actually achieved it in a sense, like he saved himself by taking another life, which is his wife, because he starts breathing again the moment her heartbeat stops in the movie.
But is that just cinematic stuff?
I don't know. But like, if it is just cinematic, then that was cool. But like, mm-hmm. if it also can have a lot of context of like, this is what actually occurred.
Yeah.
And it makes the whole thing more tragic because like, he killed his one he loved just to save himself.
You know, there's a comic series, not to keep going back to that, but it's always prevalent, like, where he actually builds, it shows how he built the tower on Mustafar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And like, he gets like this Sith artifact helmet where it's like has a Sith entity in there who's an architect.
Yeah.
And like, if you just put on anyone, he possesses that body. And it was all because there was like this little, like, this like ancient Sith, like, sculpture or something. I forget what it is. But it was a portal to a different dimension. And in that dimension, he foresaw his fight with Ahsoka. And he foresaw a lot of things, but he also saw Padme there, and he was trying to save her. It was like a chance, I guess, to maybe save her, right, and like take her back and like have her again. And he was like, Padme, come with me. And you could see like he was himself, but he had shadow limbs, because obviously he's limbless, right? And you have to see him like take out the whole Jedi Council and the whole Jedi Order. Honestly, all of them are there,
yeah.
And they're all like we're, you know, let's go, you know. And he just mopped all of them, because he was like his prime. He was like his full body again, right? So he was just killing everyone. It was crazy. And then he finds Padme, and she's like, he's like, come with me, and she's like, are you a ghost? Because Anakin is dead or something.
Yeah.
And she falls. She like kills herself. She falls off the cliff that they were on.
Oh, wow.
And he tries to save her. He's like, no. And he shoots, like, force lightning and just evaporates her
again. My God.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And that was, like, he has a holocron of Palpatine. And Palpatine's like, did you find what you need? And he was like, I did. And that was, like, the last straw for him. I think that's, when Luke came to him and he was like, it's too late for me.
Yeah.
It was after that, like, you know, after that, like, situation that he had overall. Mm-hmm. That's when he really committed to being Vader.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty crazy. But I think Clone Wars is so prevalent. I want to talk about it so bad.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
Because Clone Wars takes place between episode 2 and 3.
Yes.
So it's like you get to see, for people who don't know, you get to see like the whole war. Because like in the beginning, literally you get the start of the war in episode 2.
Yeah.
And then you get the end of the war in episode 3. So there's like all this war that you didn't see. And you find out like Anakin had a Padawan named Ahsoka.
Right.
You always get these stories about Anakin and Kenobi and going through these, like, you know.
Well, because, like, you were told, like, oh, yeah, they're such bros. And
But
like,
you don't really see it.
Yeah, you don't really see it.
But
so
Clone Wars gives it to you.
Yeah.
You get to see them, like, bicker sometimes, but they never really fight. And they're always, like, joking with each other, and they care about each other. You really see it. It's really cool.
Yeah.
You see Anakin actually be a hero. Like, he was supposed to be the hero of the war.
Yeah.
And you actually see that. Like, he's always, like, winning battles, and, like, he's always coming up on the upper hand.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. You really get to see, like, a lot of cool character development for everybody. And you really get to, again, explore that Star Wars world.
I like to say Clone Wars is my favorite time period of any of the Star Wars media.
Oh, 100%, dude.
100%. I love Clone Wars.
And the clones are so good.
They're so cool.
Rex and all of them, man. Fives. And
Fives, Echo, Jesse.
Clone 99. R.I.P. Oh, man.
Pour one out. But
F's in the chat.
Also, the villain gallery is also amazing.
Oh, amazing, man. They have so many different villains. That's not just Palpatine.
Right. Like, Ventress was really cool.
Like, that was a cool addition. It was like an antithesis to Ahsoka.
Yeah. So, what's interesting, because there were two Clone Wars series, right?
Yeah.
One was a short micro series that predated the release of episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this one, the 2008, where it originally started.
Yeah.
And Ventress was in the original one.
She was or wasn't?
She was.
Yeah, she was. Because it's a continuation. The first one, the first Clone Wars series takes place when Anakin's even still a Padawan.
Yeah.
And it's year one of the war. And I think it goes into Clone Wars, which is an anthology, so it takes place at every section takes place at different times. There's no real correlation, like correlated timeline.
Yeah.
To Clone Wars season, the second series, but that takes place primarily between like War Two and beyond until it finally ends.
If it does, if they actually are connected,
no, they are connected. It's confirmed.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
That makes you so happy.
Because you see, not to cut you off, I'm sorry, but that you see in the end of the first series, you see Anakin's a Jedi Knight.
Yeah.
At the end, and then it continues onward, and he's continuing to be a Jedi Knight, and it just goes forward from there, pretty much.
Well, at the end of the micro series is Palpatine getting captured.
Wait, is it really?
Yeah.
They did that in that one too? I don't even remember that. It's been so long.
No, it's the capture.
Oh, I remember they show it because Grievous comes into the palace, yeah. Right? I remember that. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, my favorite thing.
It is connected. Yeah, it is.
Oh, because my boy Grievous.
He was so cool in the first series. He was so cool in the first series.
Cool. Like, oh my God, why am I Genndy Tartakovsky, like, made him such a cool.
Oh, the voice actor?
He's the director person.
Oh, the director person.
He's
the
Samurai Jack, yeah. You know?
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And, like, he knew, he's like, I'm going to make Grievous, like, a force of nature, like, alien style villain.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he was intimidating. Like, yeah. You see him, like, throw down against five Jedi, and you're like, yeah, that's how you know he collected all those lightsabers.
Yeah, like, but in the second series, he doesn't really do a lot. He killed a Padawan. That's what I remember.
Yeah, he got nerfed,
like, well, hard.
It's partially George Lucas's fault, because he didn't know what to do with Grievous. Mm-hmm. He's like, he's the mustache-twirling villain of the week. It's like, he also murders the fuck out of Jedi. I'm like, okay, well, it's got to be one of them.
It's got to be one of them, right?
And he, like, half-committed to, like, villain of the week. And it kind of gave, like, the badass Jedi killing thing to Maul.
Oh, because they brought back Darth Maul in the second series.
Yeah.
That's one of the best things about the series is they brought back Maul. And he just goes on a fucking tangent, man. He just goes on a tangent.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Him and he finds out he has a brother named Savage, but they call him Savage. But his Savage name is Savage. His name is fucking Savage. Oh my God.
Yeah, he was cool too.
He was cool as shit. Yeah, he was. And they just go on this freaking this whole hunt for Kenobi.
Yeah.
And they just freaking take over Mandalore. Oh man, it's so cool.
They literally just split Grievous. Like his hatred of Kenobi and like we're just gonna make a new character.
Seriously. I know. I just love Maul because he was still in the series for so long till he eventually met his end in Rebels. But like, it's just so cool to see that they brought him back and made him such a cool badass character.
Well, because like Phantom Menace, he was kind of like
shafted.
He was like a cool design, but like he really
didn't do anything.
Yeah,
yeah.
But like here, there's so much motivations and like he's so angry with Palpatine.
You get to see like his personality. He doesn't even talk in the first one. Yeah, like, maybe once, right? Yeah. I forget. He's like responds to a holocron thing or whatever.
Yeah, but like barely.
Yeah, exactly, but barely. Yeah, he actually gets to talk, which is so cool.
Yeah, and. Like, it's, like, Maul was such a cool, like, surprise, where it was, mm-hmm. like, because, you know, when sometimes we bring back characters who are supposed to be dead.
Yeah.
It, like, oh, God, why are you doing this?
Yeah, it goes south real fast.
Yeah. But, like, this was such a cool, like, thank you, Dave Filoni. This was amazing. I think one of the things I really liked about Clone Wars as it went on is that you start seeing, like, it got darker and more, mm-hmm. like, mature.
Well, you could just because you know what's coming.
Well, you know what's coming, but like you start to see like why Anakin goes down the rabbit hole of the dark side.
Well, you can see that throughout the whole series, man. The Jedi get really political.
Yeah, but like you really see at the forefront here of mm-hmm. like they're making like they did a whole thing with like Kenobi was faked his death. And
yeah,
then, like
they fucked him with that.
And it's like you, what else are you keeping from me? Like Jesus Christ.
Then Ahsoka left because they accused her of murder.
Yeah, and that whole thing. And then, like, Anakin gets pretty close to some war crimes. Like,
yeah, I mean, he gets... And you also see, like, it's not just a sudden change. Like, you see a little bit of it in episode 2. You see it in episode 3, obviously. But it's, like, a big jump, you know what I mean?
Right.
And throughout the season, you really get to see his decline into the dark side.
Yeah.
Because he does a lot of shady shit.
Yeah. Okay, so Clone Wars is awesome. Mm-hmm. And, oh yeah, the dark part, right.
Yeah, it was getting dark, and like, you see really Anakin's decline into the dark side in general. And it just gives so much context to episode 3.
It's so much needed context. Because, like, people are always like, oh, Anakin just really turned really quickly. Like,
yeah, it's not the case, though.
Marked Mace Windu, and that was it.
And the children and everything.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, no, but now you're like, oh, I see. Because, like, it's been building up this whole time.
Yeah, exactly. And season 7.
Season 7 was amazing. Well, I'm sorry. Let me strike that.
Part 1 of season 7 was dope. The middle part, could not care less, could remove it. And then the last few episodes of season 7.
That's what I was going to say.
Was amazing. Stellar.
Yeah.
Stellar.
Oh, my God. I literally told my cousin, because we're Star Wars fans and stuff, I'm like, the last 4 episodes of season 7 is probably the best piece of Star Wars media that's ever come out.
Yeah, it's so good. The music's really good. The tension's so
amazing.
Good. You can feel that. You can cut the tension with a knife, like, completely.
Oh, my God. And I love, because season 7, the last 4 episodes, take place during Revenge of the Sith.
You know what I did? I watched actually season 7 completely, right?
Mm.
And then what I did was, a few weeks after, is I watched episode 3, I paused it, I started watching Clone Wars, those 4 episodes, yeah. And like we're met back with episode 3, I would put it back on, then switch back into the Clone Wars, and it was like, whoa, dude.
Awesome. I just loved seeing, like, the context of things of, like...
It fits in the holes. It fits in the holes so perfectly.
And it's like, Obi-Wan's like, oh, yeah, I'm about to approach Utapau now. And Grievous, it's like, oh, fuck, we're here? Like,
yeah, dude, it's just amazing. And then when you hear freaking Hayden Christensen's voice, when he's like, oh, no, what have I done?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
That was great.
It was just so cool. And it's just like, you really see the impact and how devastating Order 66 really was.
Yeah.
You really get that vibe. Like, this was, like, some crazy shit.
Yeah, and what was cool also, because earlier on, before the Clone Wars series, it was implied that Order 66 was kind of this just, like, known thing that the clones had. And, like, it wasn't a chip. It was, like, a known order. And, like, they would just be like, okay, boof, and, like, shoot them. So now you have the context of, like, it's a force programming, which makes it all the more heart-crushing, because, like, you just see, like, the cool, like, oh, the clone bros, and they're just like... not human anymore.
They literally fought with the Jedi for years. Like, they were all cool with the Jedi. Everyone was friends, and you just see your friends turn against you, and it's not even their fault. It's just so crazy. It's so heartbreaking. It was really heart-wrenching to
watch.
Rex, it was just cool.
Like, fighting it.
Yeah, he was like trying not to kill Ahsoka.
Yeah.
And it was just so cool. It was like, first off, it was sad to see Rex having to, like, come to the realization that his brothers are not his brothers anymore.
Yeah.
You know, once he got the chip out and everything. Right. And it was just crazy. Like, all of it was crazy. Like, Ahsoka fighting Maul, and then them fighting to, like, releasing Maul, and Maul, like, just going crazy with the Force and everything.
Going sicko mode on I love him destroying
the hyperdrive engine, yeah.
And then it just emerges, like, on fire.
Yeah, seriously, he's just so cool, man. Maul is the best. That's the best thing about that series, man.
Yeah.
But it was just amazing. It was amazing to see. And then the last scene was perfect.
It was so perfect, because Clone Wars, like, it started out as kind of like this kid show, like, villain of the week thing.
Mm-hmm. People die in that show, though.
But, like, yeah, by the end, you have, like, the reality of, like, you had a almost fabricated war, and all these lives were kind of just not necessarily lost just because someone else, this douchebag, wanted power, and he succeeded.
Yeah, the Jedi lost, and he won. It's like a Thanos situation times a million. it's pretty crazy. I just love that last scene of Darth Vader seeing the ship that Ahsoka crashed in.
I loved seeing Darth Vader in the Clone Wars.
Oh, he looked amazing.
He looked so good. Oh,
so badass. God. So much better than Rebels.
Yeah,
Rebels,
definitely.
Take notes, because that shit looked awesome. It looked so good.
Oh my, and
seeing his eyes in the visor and seeing that they weren't yellow.
Yeah.
So he still felt that. Like, he wasn't completely gone yet. You know what I mean?
And just,
that's how you could tell it was fresh.
Yeah, even like the funeral pyre sort of thing for the clones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the sad reality of, like, it's many years later and Darth Vader comes and there's, like, nothing left. It's just, like, the one clone helmet. And it's so, like, a end of an era.
You also have to, like, it's, like, the emotional impact because, like, he saw Ahsoka as, like, a little sister.
That, you actually, the first episode, the final arc before Ahsoka goes on Mandalore and Anakin and her kind of have the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost so sad.
Because he's trying so hard to, like, connect, and she just doesn't want it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel so bad because Anakin, you see, like, the kid Anakin of, like, he's trying to be like, oh, hey, what's going on? And
well, he's desperate, I think, at this point for, like, some emotional attachment to the order. Because he's just so sick of it at this point. Yeah.
And it's so sad because it's, like, it's like, desperate. And the last meeting before they meet again in Rebels, and it's like, oh.
And you have to notice, like, the last scene when he found her lightsaber, he thought she was gone.
Yeah.
And he didn't know at the time, you know what I mean? And it's just so cool to see, like, his emotional impact and how that affected him, because you could see, like I said, in the visor, his eyes were not yellow. He was not Sith. Like, his dark side presence was not active at that moment in time, you know what I mean? That was Anakin. Yeah. You know what I mean? That wasn't Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And you could just see that he just lost everything.
Yeah.
And when you see the bird in the sky.
Yeah, it's the bird from Rebels.
No, it's I thought it was the mother.
Oh,
From the planet. The daughter, I mean, I'm sorry. The daughter from the planet.
I've heard either or.
Like, I don't know. Who knows? But I thought it was the daughter from the planet because that was Dave Filoni's thing.
Yeah.
He did Rebels too, though, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, so I don't know. It could be either or. But regardless, I think that's really dope. I think that's really cool. This is a nice scene.
Yeah, and that was such a nice wrap-up. That was neat. Because Clone Wars before ended on Cartoon Network, and it was kind of just like...
Well, season 6 was just, hey, these are some episodes.
Well, the last episode was cool. Because
it was the Yoda one, right? Where he learns how to communicate with Force Ghosts.
Yeah. It was cool because you kind of got the Yoda thing with him communicating with the ghosts and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then it was like, I guess we just go into... Episode 3 now, I guess. But this was a much needed, like, context finale.
That I agree.
Was great.
It was so good.
I also love Dave Filoni milking Order 66.
Like, dude, because he did it in the... Have you seen The Bad Batch?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, man. The first episode of The Bad Batch is awesome.
I was also worried because Season 7, they had, like, new models and upgraded things for it. And they had an upgraded model for Grievous. And I was like, yes! Thank you. And then, like, you see him for, like, one frame, and he's gone. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Because there were cut episodes for season 7.
Yeah, I know.
And, like, they had a whole Grievous thing. And I was like, fuck, that would have been cool. Because I would have traded a Grievous episode for the sisters.
They did Clone Wars so dirty, because they wanted to do 10 seasons originally.
Yeah.
You ever see that deleted scene where Boba's fighting Cad Bane?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. I wish they did something. I thought they were going to do that. That would have been cool.
It doesn't matter now.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dave Filoni finishes Clone Wars Season 7. That mouse comes back. It's like, oh boy, this has been really successful. You want to make another one? And Dave Filoni's like, yes, please. And now we have The Bad Batch.
But The Bad Batch is cool. I honestly haven't finished it, or I'm not caught up. I think I got to episode 4.
Oh, man.
I started to lose a little interest.
Oh, man.
Does it get sick?
It gets pretty good.
I know Rex comes back, and I heard something about Cad Bane, but I don't know completely.
There are some characters who come back, and you're like, ooh, ooh.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, I know that girl, Fennec, from Mandalorian, was in the series, too. Yeah, I stopped because I was starting to get a little bored. I mean, I do like the concept of having a clone that's Force-sensitive. I'm imagining that's
the twist.
Omega is like, I'm imagining that's her twist, right? She just has that, and you know, she has that vibe that she's a Force user. You know what I mean? They all have that, like, pecky, like, oh, I'm so good at everything. You know what I mean? Type of thing. And
my name's Omega. Omega Skywalker.
Oh my God, no. No, no more. No, please, Dave. Please, Dave. Nah,
he's
do
smart.
That. I know. But I'm going to keep watching it. I've just been preoccupied with other stuff right now. But,
yeah, I mean, if anything, I'm a little just like...
It's just more content, I guess.
It's more content. I love me more somewhere.
I mean, I was really hooked in with the first episode. I thought that was sick.
Oh, that...
First and second episode
I
were really
love
good.
They recreated scenes from Revenge of the Sith. Like, actually reanimated stuff.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, they did. Yeah. It's just... And the fact that you just see some... It's just all connecting. You can see it all.
Also, like, what's his face? From Rebels.
From Rebels. That's what I was about to say. I forget his name now. Gailin or something. Right? No.
Cade?
Yeah. Oh my god, it's bothering me. What's his name?
Alright, starts with C.
Let's just call him Caden for Caden. Now. Just, I don't know. What's it? Oh my god, man.
I think it was funny though, because
I don't, Kanan.
I'm like, why did you not get a younger voice actor?
What do you mean?
Because like it's this kid and it's like, yeah, the mission. And you're like, okay, buddy, I know you're trying to use the same voice actor, but like, could you like voice change maybe? Or just like
use Alter Boy.
Little Alter Boy.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but I know it was so cool.
It was cool to see him though, because it connects. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And I love. Oh man! I mean, as so bad good. As it is, I love seeing Order 66.
I love Order 66 because there's so much shit that goes down, and you don't get to see a lot of it. That's what the problem is. We're finally starting to see some shit in that era, which is so cool to see. You know, and like we see like we're starting to see how they discontinued the clones into doing the actual like you know Storm recruitment process and Star Troopers.
Stormtroopers.
There it is.
Stormtroopers.
Stormtroopers.
I think of every sequence so far of Order 66, like before the pin drops, it's like you always get like those clones in the back of here, the radio, and then just slowly turn. That shit beats rock hard because I'm like, yes, it's about to drop.
It's just because I know, because like when I was watching those episodes, I'm like, every 5 minutes, I'm like, I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
When is it going to happen? And it's just everything's moving a little slowly.
Yeah.
You hear the music. Oh, we beat the
clankers. Yeah.
Yeah. Like everyone's rejoicing, but you have like this like weird, melancholy, solemn music. You're like, if everyone's happy and we won, what's happening?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But obviously, Star Wars fans know. But you know, it's just cool to see like the buildup. You could just,
I love it because like, I think for both scenes with Ahsoka and with the first one you see in Bad Batch, like the music drops out and you just see like the. And it's like,
oh yeah, you get like the communications from the helmet.
Yeah, and you're like, oh fuck, here we go.
You know, you know what's happening. Yeah, it's so good.
Execute Order 66.
Yeah, it's really good. I like it a lot. Wow, we're really nerding out on this episode, huh?
I had a love hate thing with Star Wars.
I know,
because like, I understand the sequels are
not good.
Not great. And I fully contest to that. And like I know the prequels had their problems.
Not good.
So here's the interesting.
But they're fixed by Clone Wars. They're in fixed my by mind. Clones. In my mind.
Yeah. They definitely fixed a lot of like issues with it. Or at least like execution wise. I mean, just still dialogue is garbage.
Yeah, but it saves it because like there's no fast jumps anymore. You get context for everything. So it kind of saves it a little bit. Like it doesn't make it as bad. Like because you know Anakin's a cool character. Yeah. It's not as bad. You know what I mean? It just saves it. It really does.
Even also there's the Phantom Edit. Have you heard of it?
Mm-mm.
The Phantom Edit is a one movie edit of the first prequels and edits it as one film. And that fixes a lot of things. Because like it basically...
It does 1 through 3 in one film?
Yeah, it removes the entirety of...
How long is it?
It's like a maybe 3-hour movie.
There's
like,
no way they fit all that in one movie.
Well, no, because they erased stuff. They cut stuff out. Like, they erased the entirety of Phantom Menace and just had the Darth Maul fight at the end.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, because that's the beginning.
That's
like,
what it should have been. I would have sat there and watched that.
It's basically like they cut out a lot of stuff from Attack of the Clones and Phantom Menace. It's like, yeah, episode 3 and 2.
Yeah.
But what's interesting now is that it feels like we're having a little bit of a renaissance with the prequels.
Do you mean in content or do you mean in...
In content.
In, like, appreciation.
Both.
In content?
Well, both, actually.
Yeah. I mean, you think because of Kenobi series and everything?
I think because of memes.
Because of memes?
Because of memes.
Have you been seeing the... Oh, my God. Have you been seeing the Padme Anakin memes all over the place?
Yeah.
I saw one where... You know the last Avatar movie?
Yeah.
The one that's shit?
Yeah.
Right? There's one where it says, my name is Aang. And she's like, you mean Aang, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, Aang, you mean... And you see her face? Oh, my God. I was crying. Oh, my goodness. I know. The memes keep him alive.
I follow the prequel memes subreddit.
Okay.
And, like, it's hysterical. And it's like they have such a love for the prequel. Like, everyone loves Kenobi. Everyone's
he's
like
the best.
Yeah. And it's like Ian McGregor, boy, rocking and rolling.
That's another thing Clone Wars did. They added a lot of Kenobi scenes.
Yeah.
They gave him a love interest. They gave him his whole storyline.
Oh, yeah.
They gave him so much cool stuff. Watch Clone Wars, please.
Watch Clone Wars.
At least episode season 4 onward, please. Please. Do me a favor.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. So good. Like,
one more time and I'll believe you.
So good.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people now have kind of gone for a circle of like hating on prequels was the thing. And now it's kind of like, oh, you know, I can appreciate what they were.
Do you think it's going to be like that with the sequels too?
No.
I don't think so either.
I mean, someone's going to be like, well, you know, it's not
I'm sure there are people who like them. I mean, if you do, the new Star Wars fans might like them. Old Star Wars fans might like them. I haven't met you, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, you know, if you exist and you like it, good for you, whatever.
The problem was like the prequels had good ideas. They're just poorly executed.
Yeah.
The sequels have just bad ideas.
Bad ideas, and they commit to, you know, things that
they
shouldn't.
They didn't even commit. They're like, sometimes they backtrack. It's like, people didn't like that one.
They commit on the stuff that sucks, and then they backtrack on the stuff that has potential.
Yeah.
Which is what's really a bummer. I think, I don't know, I think the landscape of Star Wars right now is kind of just focusing on the original trilogy era between episode 6 and 7.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, because Clone Wars has been done. It's done. And
we had the Bad Batch, but I think after that, I mean, what are they gonna do, another one? You know what I mean?
Yeah. The
I mean, they have to really sell me on it. Like, I don't know
what
else.
Galactic Civil War.
Yeah, I don't know what else they would do, honestly. But I mean, they're doing the Ahsoka show.
Yeah.
That pertains to the prequels because that's where she was originally existing in. But that's gonna take place around I'm on Mandalorian era. Mm. I'm interested if they're going to bring Ezra Bridger back. Because he kind of went off with... you know who I think they should bring back? Who I think they're teasing? Oh my God, what's his name now? Jesus Christ.
Describe.
He looks like a fish. I don't know. No, he doesn't. I'm lying.
Are you talking about Thrawn?
Yes, thank you. He doesn't look like a fish. I'm tweaked. But
you could say like Spock or anything.
I know.
Like...
I really could have said anything else. Thank you. I don't know why I couldn't think of Thrawn. Yeah. But I think they're trying to set up Thrawn for the whole Mandalorian like
Thrawn
universe.
Is so cool.
He's amazing. He's awesome.
Yeah, I would love to see like
a Thrawn villain. I think that would be really cool. I think Thrawn would be like...
One of my issues with Rebels was like Thrawn was kind of shafted a little bit
because
it was like a kid's show.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see like real Thrawn.
Real Thrawn, yeah. Like the manipulative, like tactical genius, yeah.
One of the things, I mean, I love Dave Filoni and I love all the stuff he did. And I know this is going to sound like me harping.
Mm-hmm.
But they did my boy Grievous so dirty.
I know, you're really feeling this Grievous thing, huh?
He's such a cool character. Like, because you know the extended lore of Grievous?
Like the EU versions of him, like the iterations?
Yeah.
Not really.
So the whole thing was like...
Well, I know his backstory, if that's what you're referring to.
Do you know the EU backstory?
I'm explain it and then I can confirm.
Okay, so... He was part of this, like, tribal war planet,
mm-hmm.
right? And these, like, bug race called the Hux came in. And they're like, well, they're fucking tribal losers. We're going to take over this place and make them our slaves. And they did that. And Grievous, who was, like, his name was Shallan or something by then. I don't remember. Some name. he and his, like, girlfriend at the time is like, yo, fuck you guys. We're going to just beat the shit out of you. And they did. And they're like, yo, this guy's our leader now. And he's basically a god. He's a demigod in human form. And it's like, yeah, okay. And they kicked their asses so hard. And then they left the planet. And then they followed them to the home planet and kicked their ass harder.
Oh, my God.
And then at that point, what was cool was the Hux call for help. And the Republic answers and send Jedi to fix the problem.
Oh, is that why he hates Jedi?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And then, like, they forced them back to their planet, and Grievous is about to, like, try and get them back. His shuttle explodes, and he gets recovered by the Banky clan, and he gets made into Grievous.
And that's why he has, like, all the armor and a respirator and shit.
Dooku is the one who bombed the shuttle.
Wow, so he's just all fucked all over the place.
Yeah, and like it was like, no, it was the Jedi, man. Those fucking pieces of shit, you know.
It was Dooku, Slithering Dooku.
It's literally Dooku. And it was so cool because like you saw like there's a lot of lore stuff of Grievous where like he hates everybody in the CIS. He fucking loathes every single one. He's like, you people are pieces of trash. You're scummy. You're fucking fake assholes. Like, you don't know what a real warrior is if it slapped you in the face. And like, he hates Dooku with burning passion, even if he doesn't know about the crash originality. But like,
well, Dooku's a prick, so
yeah. He's like, oh, fucking piece of shit. And like, and he's also just he's kind of just sad because like he lost his wife and everything on the planet. Yeah. And he kind of just went into this blind rage of like,
he's just a soldier now.
Yeah. And to get reduced in Clone Wars to be like, he got the parts on purpose because he wanted to be a warrior because he didn't have force capabilities.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's such a disservice because like he's such a cool character. Mm-hmm. When you like, because it's like he's kind of like, again, it was like the Anakin parallels of like he was this person who got forced into the metal shell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Star Wars is all about parallels.
Yeah.
You know, they all like kind of mirror each other in some way or not.
There was a lot of cool like origin stories that sometimes get shafted because of the Disney merger.
Mm-hmm. I know. The EU has a lot of good content that they're just kind of like,
I mean, at least sometimes stupid content too, but
yeah, I mean, I'm sure, 'cause there were so many different writers and so many different things on the projects for sure. I don't blame them for being like, we're going to make this legends. And that's, you know what I mean? And we'll do our own thing. Now.
And then we're just going to steal from it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Make it a little slightly different.
It's our idea now.
Oh my God. I love the Mickey voice, man. It's good. Yeah. Do you have anything else that you like to say?
I am excited now for Star Wars, which is a nice feeling to have.
Yeah. I mean, I'm optimistic. Oh, I'm trying to keep like, you know, my guard up because I know they could fuck it up at any moment.
Right, yeah, I getcha.
I'm excited for Kenobi. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for Ahsoka series because I love Ahsoka. I just think she's awesome.
Right.
I mean, she's super OP. Like, she was literally the Padawan to the Chosen One, so she has to be OP, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? And I'm interested to see what they do with Mandalorian and the Boba Fett series.
Yeah.
I'm not too interested in Rangers of the New Republic or any of that, like, you know, that era.
Yeah,
I'm not really interested in any of that stuff. Anything that has to do with the sequels, I really don't care about. But anything else, I'm down. I'm ready for.
Especially if it's an animated form.
Yeah, they have something like that, don't they? Like the Resistance or something.
Oh, we don't talk about the Resistance.
Yeah, no one cares. Yeah, no one cares.
I mean, like, if it's in the style of Clone Wars. Like,
which it's not. I don't believe it is.
Yeah, no. Just out of curiosity, since we've talked about the sequels and we talked about the prequels,
yeah,
what's your opinion of the originals?
The originals? The originals are the classics, man. I think they're pretty perfect the way they are, I think. I mean, yes, like, the writing's not always great and everything like that. I understand, but I think you just kind of have to accept that with Star Wars. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
That's part of it, you know? But I think they wouldn't have lasted this long and have been so beloved. Like, I don't know too many people who preferred the sequels or the prequels instead of the originals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have you watched
the originals recently?
Yeah, I watched them on Disney Plus because they have, like, the new edited version, like the Blu-ray.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have watched them recently. And I still love them. You know, honestly, I'm kind of shocked at how well they keep up with the times.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's not the CG of today. Like, you know what I mean? But for what it was and the time period that it in, it's pretty rad.
I can't believe they fucking name-dropped Clone Wars in episode one. Episode four.
Oh, that they talked about it?
They talked about Clone Wars and, like, George Lucas is, like, time-traveled into the past.
Yeah,
he's
seriously.
Like, this is going to be a cool-ass thing. But
well, that's why he waited so long. He was trying to wait for the CG to catch up when he did the prequels.
Yeah, no. He didn't wait long enough.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I love them. I love the characters in them. I never get bored watching them. I mean, I like episode 5 and 6.
But 5 is the best one.
Yeah, 5 is the best one for sure. I love 5 so much. You search your feelings, boy. You know it to be true. I love it. Yeah. It's so good. James Earl Jones as Darth Vader.
Yeah.
The best. The GOAT.
Absolutely.
But it's I don't know. I just love them so much, especially episode 5 and 6. I like episode 5 and 6 the best.
Right.
Episode 4 was like the start, you know what I mean?
Which 4 is interesting to watch now because you can see the standaloneness of it.
Mm-hmm. You can. That's why I think I don't like them as much. Mm-hmm. That one as much, excuse me. I don't like the standaloneness for what it is, you know what I mean? But I don't hate the movie by any means. I like it still, yeah. But it's just not my favorite.
It's a lot shorter than I remember.
Is it? I don't even recall being
it. Like, I watched it once, not recently, but I watched it like after I became knowledgeable about the quality of movies.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that went by a lot quicker than I thought. It felt like it was only like an hour long.
No way, dude. But it felt like it was that. I know it's not an hour, but like it felt like that.
I mean, maybe because we also just know how the story goes.
Yeah, it could be that too. I don't know. We should do a Star Wars marathon.
Live podcast.
No, not a live podcast. God forbid, no.
React to...
there's this channel I like on YouTube. I have to show you one day. I forget the name now. But he does live reaction things where he watches a whole movie with like a friend.
Yeah.
And they just commentate on it. And like he edits to the funniest parts, obviously, of like what they say.
Well, there's a lot of channels that do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I just like them because they are funny. Like, I do like what they say about it. They've been doing the Transformers ones, and they're like, please make us stop. Don't make us watch anymore.
That's a podcast for another day.
Transformers? Yeah, we're not going to talk about that right now. Yeah. Oh, man. But, yeah, I think Star Wars could have a bright future with Dave Filoni and John Favreau. Excuse me.
Yeah. As long as no interference by me.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. What do you think? Can you say that's it for now?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about what we wanted to talk about. Sequels are garbage, and the Clone Wars and Bad Batch and Mandalorian are amazing.
Prequels are but Clone Wars saves it.
Yeah.
And we look forward to the future.
Stan General Grievous.
Yeah. F in the chat for General Grievous,
F in the chat for General Grievous.
Well, thank you for listening to another episode of the Imposter Syndrome Podcast. I'm Jake.
I'm Mike.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.